It's a good time to look forward to a fresh start. In Scotland, my dad was telling me the other night, in Glasgow, on New Year's Eve, people would sweep their houses, clean their house from top to bottom on New Year's Eve before the bells. Hogmanay, New Year's in Scotland is it's a huge thing. And they're basically getting out with the old, and then they would make sure everything's tidy and da-da-da-da-da before they would let anyone into their house in the new year. And it was like, out with the old, in with the new, we're starting fresh. They would clean their fireplace, get rid of all the ash, stuff like that. Am I right, Mum? Yeah, just so I'm not making this story up. Yeah, but the new year, for whatever reason, it naturally prompts us into a time of self-reflection and goal-getting. A new year's resolution, the word resolution, is a firm decision to do something or to not do something. So every year, people love to start with a new year's resolution. And I have got 10 of this year's most popular New Year's resolutions for us to look at. This one will do. So, this is 2025's top 10 New Year's resolutions. Number one, save more money. Okay, financial goals, particularly saving money and cutting down on unnecessary expenses, tops the list for 2025. Number two, eat healthier. Many people are focusing on improving their diet by eating more whole foods and reducing processed items. Now, I still wouldn't try to eat a whole watermelon. I would cut it first, but it's a good idea. I think that joke went over a few heads. Number three, exercise more. Regular physical activity remains a key priority for overall health and fitness. Number four, lose weight. Always in the top four or five New Year's. Weight management is always a continued focus, with often paired with healthier eating and exercise at New Year. Number five, spend less and reduce expenses. Managing our spending and budgeting are significant goals for many people who are looking to stabilize finances this year. Number six, travel more. That's kind of the opposite. Spend lots of money exploring new destinations, taking vacations. Probably COVID had us all cooped up for a few years and people want to let go and fly away. Number seven, invest more. More people are planning to build wealth by increasing their investments this year. Number eight, sleep more. Getting adequate rest is recognized as a vital thing for mental and physical health and well-being. Number nine, build an emergency fund. That is establishing a financial safety net. And number 10, practicing self-care. Prioritizing your mental health, your relaxation, and activities that promote well-being are becoming particularly important this year. And it all kind of boils down to three things: financial, physical, and mental well-being. And they all sound like good resolutions, don't they? I don't have anything against any of these resolutions. In fact, as I was reading through them, I was thinking it might be a good idea for me to apply a few of them into my life. So I'm going to get some accountability partners, and we're going to do this. So hands up in here if you set a New Year's resolution for 2025. Okay, not too many. Okay. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you what it was. Okay. But here's a few more stats. Has anyone given up on their New Year's resolution yet? James, have you given up on your New Year? You have. You forgot to do it. Okay. Well, here's a few more stats regarding New Year's resolutions that I found. Almost one out of four people quit their New Year's resolution within the first week of setting their resolution. So all the people that raised their hands, 25% of you are going to quit your New Year's resolution within the first week. You have 2 days left. Most people quit their New Year's resolution on the second Friday of the month. We just had the first Friday, we're going into the second Friday, and according to Strava, which is a running and cycling workout app, they have named this day Quitter's Day. Okay? So next Friday, if you set a New Year's resolution, get past that. Okay? Most people quit before the end of January, and that could be linked to the fact that 43% of all people expect to fail their resolution by the end of February, or before February, sorry. And finally, a little bit of good news, 9% of people will see their resolutions through until succession. 1 in 10. So a resolution, okay, a firm decision that appears so full of promise and renewed hope and renewed dreams. I mean, who doesn't want to base jump onto the start of the Amazon and kayak down it? It sounds exciting, right? But often within 4 weeks, those resolutions and those dreams are done and dusted. They're gone. And what's that all about? Some of the most common reasons that people fail in their resolutions are poor planning, self-doubt and negative thinking, setting unrealistic goals, lack of motivation, a lack of focus, a loss of excitement in the resolution. Basically, they lose focus. And ultimately, people lose sight of the prize with which they started. See, most people's New Year's resolution is aiming towards a goal. It's aiming towards a prize, right? And it's into this situation that I want to share a couple of verses that are going to encourage us this morning. Okay, that's going to let us let go of the past, refocus on the new, and pursue God's purpose with a fresh determination this year. So if we can bring up the first verse, please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." Today, I'd like to encourage all of us in here to embrace the new year by moving forward in faith, leaving behind whatever last year or the previous year or the previous collective years, or if it's the last 6 months, it doesn't matter. Whatever it's left us with, be it regret, fear, complacency, pride, lack of focus. And I want us individually, you know, ourselves, but also as a body collectively, to cling on to these words of Paul. To forget what is behind, to strain towards what is ahead, and to press on towards the goal. And let's set this as an individual and collective New Year's resolution. Paul starts off saying, point number one, I've got 3 points. Number one, forgetting what is behind. He says, one thing I do, one thing. He's got this single-minded determination from the start. And let's define what forgetting means. Forgetting what is behind. Here's what Paul's not saying. Just blot out everything that's happened in the last season of your life. Yeah? If you forget about it, it's like it never happened. Just sprinkle some forgetful fairy dust and you're good. That's not what he's saying. Okay? God wants us to own our past. But God also wants us to give our past to him. Paul isn't suggesting we wipe our memories clean, you know, pop down to the local Elon Musk Neuralink shop. I'm sure there's not one in Santa Ponza, but, you know, reformat our disks, delete cache, system reboot, and all that kind of stuff, and we're all good for 2025. Rather, he's warning us not to be controlled by our past. Let me repeat that. He's warning us not to be controlled by the past. See, some of us here today are carrying things that God never intended us to carry or to keep. Whether it's guilt from past failures, whether it's pride from past achievements, or whether it's bitterness from old wounds, God's telling us that it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how you're feeling, it doesn't matter where you've been in the past, God is saying, I'm interested about you, and I'm interested about your future. And you may be sitting here today thinking that you are the world's biggest failure in the eyes of God. You may be sitting here burdened by situations that are going on in your life. I know there's been so much of that recently in this church. You know, just too many to mention. We spoke about them enough, but so many people are going through burdensome times just now through no fault of their own. You may be sitting here burdened by situations. You may be sitting here thinking, what are you going on about, Paul? I am God's greatest gift. There's nothing wrong in my life. You know? But what I want to emphasize today is that God is consistently and constantly calling his people to release, to let go of the old and embrace the new. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. Isaiah writes, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. It's at the end of this passage. And see, we all have different personalities. Okay, some of us are really outgoing. Some of us are more reserved. Some of us are go-getters. Some of us like to sit back and monitor everything that's going on. And 5-6 years ago, I think it was before COVID, maybe more, I did this thing at work. And there was this company called Mindflick, and they were performance coaching for your work. And they actually work with professional sports athletes and teams. And I had a guy that I work with is friends with somebody that worked there. And they came in, and what they did was they sat us all down, the whole company, and they analyzed our personalities, our characteristics. And my characteristic came back as logically prudent. That means I have some good attributes, by the way. Okay? It's not all bad. I'm good at scenario planning. I'm analytical. I'm able to develop organized methods of working. I'm devoted to my tasks. I get things right, or like to get things right, and do it the right way. But on the flip side of that, I have some characteristics that, if not noticed or channeled or managed properly, can be a hindrance to me. I can focus on what is going to go wrong. To illustrate that, Timo and I went shopping for men's breakfast about a month ago, okay? And we were like, let's do a nice, easy men's breakfast. We're going to do breakfast burritos. And we were in Eroski, and we were like, you know what? We're not even going to cook the potatoes. We're going to buy them. And Timo was like, I think 2 boxes of potatoes is enough. And all I couldn't get it out of my mind. And you can ask Timo, am I right? I was just like, no, we need three. We need three. And all I was doing was focusing on, what if there's not enough potatoes? You know? And Timo said, if there's not enough potatoes, there's not enough potatoes. It's fine. My mind doesn't work like that. I was like, no, system overload. It's not going to work, you know. But I can overanalyze situations if I allow myself to. I can doubt myself, other people. I can be unwilling to take risks if they're necessary. I can have a fear of failure of letting other people down. Basically, I can become stifled by anxiety and fear in case I fail. I can be afraid to release control. I have this tendency towards self-trust sometimes. And if I decide to dwell on the past year, past few years, even the past week, for long enough, I'm going to find enough dirt in my life to be anxious. And I'm going to find enough dirt to be worried. And just like these people here, I am going to be in exile. There's going to be things that I'll dwell on that will allow to consume me and result in me taking my eyes off the prize. Now, there may be somebody, and there was, what they did in that personality coaching is they made us, once we got our results, stand in a circle, and people with opposite character traits and attributes to you were standing across the circle from you. And the idea was to allow us to understand the people that we were working with better, that whenever you get into conflicts, this is what it was about, when you get into conflicts, you're not looking at the problem from the same perspective a lot of the time. We all have different personalities. We all have different characteristics. And your situation today, you may be sitting here saying, I'm under the bondage of sin. I'm full of failure and I'm full of guilt. You may be focusing on what has gone wrong in your life. You may be thinking there's no future and there's no hope in sight, allowing certain circumstances to draw you away from God. Just like these people in Isaiah. When Isaiah writes, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, I'm doing a new thing. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah to a nation in the middle of the worst circumstances possible. They had been taken captive. They had disappointed God, and they were living in exile. The Babylonians had come, taken them in chains to a new place, and they were not living under the ownership of God anymore. And God is telling us, forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. I want to do a new thing. God wants us to know today that He has a plan for our life and He has a purpose for our life. Now, maybe you're sitting today in a completely different situation. Life, good. Relationships, good. Relationship with God, awesome. Ministry, got it all. If I could use one word to describe myself, it would be victory and fantastic. Maybe you're going through a great season of life. That can lead towards self-reliance and pride. And it's great if you're going through a great season of life. But let me encourage us all not to allow our past or present victories to stop us from pursuing spiritual growth. Just as God wants us to surrender our past failures and hurts towards Him, He wants us to surrender our past victories to Him as well. Everything belongs to Him. And I love the contrast in this verse. If we go back to the start of the verse, it says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. What is Isaiah speaking about here? I mean, it's a specific thing that happened when they were escaping from Egypt in bondage. Yeah? And He parted the Red Sea, and He made a path through the waters for them. So God's saying, and then remember the water covered all the soldiers that were chasing them and stuff. See, God's saying, look and remember all the victories and the good things that I've done for you. Don't forget that. Remember all the good stuff, but don't for a minute rest on it. See, the lesson here is learn from the past, but don't live in the past. Paul's focus wasn't on his failures or successes, but in pursuing Christ, getting to know Jesus better. Paul wanted to become more like Jesus. And this is our challenge today. Let's reflect on our lives, on our own lives, and this is a challenge for us as a body. What past events, whether failures, hurts, or even successes, might God be calling us to release, to let go of today? Especially as we enter into a new year. It's a great time to let go of things to God. And why don't we consider laying them down and allowing God to make space for the new things that he wants to do in our life? And today he's telling us, whatever your situation is, this moment, right now, right here, there's no time like the present. One, forget what is behind, it's in the past. And two, strain towards what is ahead. The second thing the Lord wants us to do today is strain towards what is ahead. Point two. Philip, thank you. The Lord wants to give us a fresh focus. See, Paul himself had significant credentials, right? If Paul had focused on himself and held on to his credentials, if we put Philippians 3, 4 to 6 up, please, you can put it all the way. Paul says, if anyone else thinks they've got reason to put confidence in the flesh, I've got more reason than you. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribes of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, I am faultless. That's impressive, right? Faultless. Nobody is better at being religious than me. That's the kind of gist. But Paul goes on to say, I consider all my man-made righteousness as loss, as absolute garbage compared to knowing Jesus. He says, but whatever things were gains to me, at one point he considered these things gains. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider this loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is what we want to focus on today. For whose sake I've lost all things, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Amen? And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, no self-reliance, but that which is through faith in Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He goes on to speak our verses today. Not that I've already obtained this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Everything is lost compared to being with Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. Everything is garbage compared to knowing Jesus, compared to being in Christ. Paul reevaluated his situation and realized, you know what? This legalistic route that I am taking is wrong. It's garbage. And he had the humility to say, I haven't arrived. I need to let go of this, but I'm going to give it everything to know Jesus all the more. And not until I'm with Jesus in heaven will I rest in that resolution. What a great resolution, eh? What better time than the new year gives us a unique opportunity to recalibrate our focus. Pear's a photographer and he's got two cameras sitting up here. And if he doesn't sort the focus out in the morning, the speaker on the video is going to be blurry. We're not going to be able to see the prize properly. Not that I'm saying I'm a prize, but you know what I'm saying. I've got holy socks on. That was for James. But see, It's an intentional thing that Per gets up and calibrates the focus. And this is what we're doing this year. Paul was only focused on the main prize, his number one New Year's resolution, sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. And Paul used this vivid picture of an athlete who is pushing forward, giving every ounce of energy and focus to reach the finish line. The Greek term that's often translated as straining or reaching towards carries this idea of stretching out with every muscle exerted. And I actually have a photo of someone doing that. It conveys an image of just leaning into the race. That's my New Year's resolution. Yeah. This guy is called David Goggins, and I was going to show you a video, but he swears too much, so I thought I'd show you a photo. But I think he is one of the most determined men that I've ever seen, and we can take the photo down now, that's fine. I just want to show you what this means. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. David Goggins' career goes like this. He was a Navy SEAL. He's a retired Navy SEAL now. Served multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. He joined the Air Force Tactical Air Control Party and served in this elite unit in his early military career. So not only was he a SEAL, he served in this other elite unit. And then just for kicks and giggles, he joined Army Ranger School, which is one of the hardest things to do, supposedly. And he graduated from Army Ranger School with the distinction of an enlisted honor man. He then attempted to join Delta Force. And he was just doing this for doing it. He actually failed that, but just because he missed a waypoint on a map. He almost did that. And after his time in the U.S. Navy, he became an ultra-endurance athlete, maybe even during it as well. And he ran ultra-marathons and ultra-endurance races. David Goggins has completed over 70 competitive ultramarathons, triathlons, and ultra-triathlons. Most of these races are over 100 miles. He has taken part in a race called the Badwater 135 multiple times. This is a 135-mile race across Death Valley. Doesn't sound like fun, does it? No. He placed third in 2007. He's not a professional athlete. He did hold the world record for pull-ups. He thought, what else can I do? I know, pull-ups. He did 4,030 pull-ups in 17 hours in 2013. It's since been beaten. It's actually been smashed. But you see, David Goggins did not get to the level of straining forward to what is ahead by having lots of cheat days and lots of rest days, did he? There's a determination and a discipline towards his lifestyle. And to think that he's doing all this for a prize that's just going to fade away. In the same way, spiritual growth, our sanctification, requires intentional effort. It requires intentional prayer. Talking and listening to God should be our lifeline. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to spend time with his Father. If Jesus did that, how much more do we need it? What about spending time in the Word? Immersing ourselves in Scripture fuels our minds with truth. Psalm 119:105 tells us that your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. If we spend regular time reading and meditating on God's word, it's going to be an anchor in our souls against the shifting winds of culture. And how much do we need that today? Culture's changing constantly, right? What was okay 2 years ago isn't okay now. But this book here holds truth in it that will never change. So we hold on to that in our lives. What about fellowship and service? Gathering with other believers? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards loving good deeds, not giving up meeting together, just like we are today, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's Paul in Galatians saying, get together, guys, encourage each other. What about serving each other? Serve each other humbly in love, Galatians 5 says. See, when we do these things, it strengthens our faith. It strengthens our community. And it teaches us humility. When we start exercising these areas in our life, we're going to see a spiritual maturity and a spiritual strength growing. Our spiritual muscles will become like this. Let me emphasize one point, though. There's an importance in consistency over intensity. See, one of the reasons that so many New Year's resolutions fail is because this is how it goes, and I've done this before. I'm going to get fit. Day one, put my new jogging shoes on that I got for Christmas. Awesome, they fit. Okay, day two, try and run a kilometer or whatever. Day three, 2 kilometers. Day four, 3 kilometers. Day five, I must be ready for a 10 kilometer. Day six, half marathon, why not? And what happens is it's just like, is there any wonder that we quit? Because the prize is there, okay? The prize of getting fit and running that marathon or a half marathon is there. It's not gone away. It's just we're going around about getting to that prize in the wrong way. Discouragement will set in, and eventually you don't go out and train, and eventually the shoes just end up in the cupboard, and those nice new fancy running shorts you bought end up in the cupboard, and so on and so on and so on. So often when we're, you know, recommitting things at the start of the new year, or even as believers, and we're saying, Lord, I want to commit freshly to you today. We can attempt these grand gestures, can't we? I'm going to pray for 3 hours today, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. I'm going to read half the Bible in 3 days for the whole year. I'll have it memorized by November. But, you know, if we aim for goals like this, we're going to hit what? Burnout. So here's the encouragement. Here's the goal. Aim for reachable goals. Because I would say, and it's proven, that 15 to 30 minutes of devotion time daily with Jesus will be more sustainable, but more importantly, it will be more life-changing over time than 3 hours a day for just a week. David Goggins didn't get to where he was in a few weeks. He trained every day, rain or shine. There's one more picture of him that I just want to show you. And it's his before and after picture. Before David Goggins joined the U.S. Navy, he looked like this. Do you have it, Philip? Yeah. He didn't get to where he was in a few weeks. He trained every... Not that one. It's the one where there's like two of them. Every day, rain or shine, he focused on the result. He focused on the prize. He was resolute. He made a firm commitment to doing this thing. Do you think that David Goggins gave up on his New Year's resolutions? I don't think so. I think he's the type of guy that was like, I am going to see this through. And what it is that steady discipline, not just short bursts of energy, that yields lasting results. Here we go. David Goggins was 100 pounds, that's about 50 kilos, overweight before he joined the US Navy. And through discipline, and listen, I'm not advocating for anyone to become ultramarathon runners and stuff here. I'm using this as an illustration of what steady, consistent spiritual discipline of getting to know Jesus and allowing him to work in our lives will do. It will turn us from that into a machine, spiritually speaking. Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and let us run with perseverance. So this is our challenge. Let's use this time to refocus on what is important in our lives today. Let's set Christ-centered goals. It's quite possible that God has a fresh focus for you today, something new that he wants to do. And there's four things I want to speak really quickly. If we want to find out what God has for us today, these four things are going to help us. Number one, speak to God. Identify what's hindering us from knowing him the best and what is hindering our spiritual growth. Number two, get rid of anything that hinders you. It's extremely hard to run an ultramarathon with a backpack of rocks on or consistently looking over your shoulder. If you're easily distracted, turn your devices off when you're doing devotions. If you're suffering from guilt and shame, forget about it. Give it to Jesus. If you're carrying burdens, give them to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your soul with me. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Give it to me. If you have a lack of discipline in setting goals and keeping them, spiritual goals and keeping them, get a gym buddy, an accountability partner, someone that you can bounce things off with and will keep us accountable. Maybe you're too busy. Make intentional time. There are no excuses, really. Number three, prioritize things. Prioritize spending time with Jesus and getting to know him better and becoming more like him. Prioritize prayer, Bible study, devotion, reflection, fellowship, serving each other. When we run the race this way, it's going to be a lot easier to stay in the race this year. And number four, persevere. Keep your eyes on the prize. I like that rhyme. Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't give up after a few weeks, like most New Year's resolutions. See, we can't do that when we're carrying all our burdens from the past. This is why he's saying let go of them. So let's encourage each other to focus on God's promises and the hope that lies ahead in getting to know him better. And the third point I want to finish off on today is pressing on towards the goal. Paul says in verse 14 of Philippians, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul reveals here to us the main point of his resolution. This is the purpose of it all. Sanctification. See, we have been saved in the past tense. We've been justified, okay, just as if I'd never sinned. Yeah, I have been saved, and if you haven't been saved, you can be saved today. You can give your life to Jesus today. But we have, if you've given your life to the Lord, you have been saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's for by grace that you've been saved, through faith, not from yourselves, it is a free gift of God. It's a completed act. We're forgiven and justified as soon as we give our lives to Jesus. As soon as we ask him to take control and we surrender ourselves. But secondly, we're also being saved. Present tense, here, now, we're being sanctified. Right now, I am being saved. This is an ongoing process that involves being saved from the power of sin. So we've been saved from the penalty of sin, but we are continually being saved from the power of sin in our life. Philippians 2:12-13 says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do in order to fulfill his good purpose. And this is what Paul's speaking about. Although believers were justified, we're being refined. We're being strengthened to resist sin and grow in holiness. And this process is going to continue until the day we either die or the Lord comes back, when finally we will be saved. That's called glorification. One day we're going to be free from not only the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but we will be free from the presence of sin. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's going to occur when believers are fully transformed and united with Christ in eternity. This is the goal that Paul is working towards. This is his New Year's resolution. Romans 8:30 says, "And those that he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." That's God's promise to us. Later in this chapter, in Philippians 3, Paul goes on and tells us, "But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies." We look forward to this future event, right? Either when Christ returns or when we enter his presence. At this point, sin and its effects will no longer have a hold on us. And this is what Paul's saying. The prize that lies ahead is worth the strain. It's worth the perseverance. It's worth pressing on into this. My brother has this quote that he likes to use all the time, and he thinks he's really funny. But he always, if I say, shall we do this or this? And he always says, well, is it worth the squeeze? Is the juice worth the squeeze? And what he's saying is like, is it actually worth it? Is it worth doing? Yeah? And I would firmly say that keeping our eyes firmly on the prize, and can we put the verses in Philippians just back up to finish, please? That is definitely a juice that is worth the squeeze. Becoming more like Jesus, inviting Christ into our life and being transformed is definitely worth the squeeze. But there is a warning. At some point, we're going to hit a bump in the road. Setbacks are going to creep into our lives over the coming year. We're going to create this resolution, and you're going to hit disappointment, failure, sin, burdens, anxiety, worry, pride, busyness. See, we have an enemy who will do anything he can to take our eyes away from the prize. He wants us to doubt Jesus. He wants us to doubt our promise of salvation. And he wants us to think, what is the point in carrying on in this? I've lost the fight. It's over. I did the resolution. It lasted 2 months. Better than most. Great. He wants to cripple us with that loss of focus on what the Lord is doing in our life, this new thing that he's doing in our life. The enemy will be happy enough if we set our resolution aside and take our eyes off the prize. He'll be happy enough with that to stop you functioning as God is intending you. One of the devil's primary goals is to do that. To isolate a Christian and to stop them functioning as God intended them. God's calling you into something special this year, and the devil's fighting against you. And Philip the other week told this story of setback about Michael Jordan and how he reacted to setback. It was incredible. Michael Jordan. Everyone know who Michael Jordan is? Hands up if you don't. Everyone in this room knows Michael Jordan. Yeah? But he faced rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection. And Michael Jordan persevered in his setbacks and eventually led the Chicago Bulls to 6 NBA championships. And he won 5 MVP awards, which I'm guessing is most valuable player. Incredible, eh? We all know his name. Because of his perseverance. Usain Bolt. early in his sprinting career, Bolt suffered injuries. He suffered criticism, and people doubted if he could handle the technical precision required for the 100 and 200 meter races. Do I even need to tell you the rest of the story? No. Bolt focused on his health, focused on his training. He refined his running techniques. He embraced the challenge. And Bolt became the fastest man in history, winning 8 Olympic gold medals and setting world records in the disciplines that he was told he was useless at. His dominance actually redefined sprinting. Tom Brady. Everyone know who Tom Brady is? These are guys we all know, yeah? Because they are famous for a reason. Tom Brady's setback. He was selected as the 199th pick in the 2000 NFL draft. Now, I don't know the NFL draft that much, but that is way down the pecking order, right? Considered an afterthought by most teams, his scouting report labeled him as too slow and physically underwhelming. His response? Brady used this snub as a motivation. He dedicated himself to training, learning the game under the New England Patriots system. The prize? After stepping in as a starting quarterback in 2001, Tom Brady led the Patriots to a Super Bowl victory and went on to win a total of 7 Super Bowl championships, the most of any quarterback in NFL history. His longevity and success defied expectation, and it solidified him as one of the greatest athletes ever. Last one, Michael Phelps. Everyone in here know Michael Phelps? Yeah. We all know these people. Michael Phelps' setback. This is incredible. During the 2008 Beijing Olympics, in the 200-meter butterfly final, Michael Phelps' goggles began to fill with water shortly after the race started. By the final lap, he couldn't see. Michael Phelps' response, he didn't panic. He relied on counting strokes, a technique that he'd practiced extensively just in case of such an emergency. By maintaining his composure and focus on his training, he continued swimming at full pace despite his impaired vision. The prize? Phelps not only finished that race, but he won the gold medal and set a new world record with goggles full of water. See, his ability to stay calm under pressure exemplified his mental toughness and preparation, which contributed to this historic achievement. He won 8 gold medals at one single Olympics. I don't know how many he won in total. And Michael Phelps' story underscores an importance for us. It underscores the importance of preparation for the unexpected, mental resilience, and unwavering focus. Qualities that define champions. So for us, those important things would be prayer, spending time with the Lord, fellowship with each other, serving each other, loving each other. Setbacks are simply an opportunity for us to grow and mature, to press on towards the prize even harder and more prepared. This is often what refinement in our life looks like. Chris shared last week the story of the marble and how, you know, how did you make that? And he was like, I just chiseled away all the imperfections. What a great illustration. The same as how we melt gold and burn the dross away. James tells us to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature as a Christian, sanctified and complete, not lacking anything. See, let me, just as we finish, God isn't so much interested in your setbacks. He's interested in how we deal with those setbacks. Often God allows these setbacks to come into our life in order for us to become more reliant on him and more like him. The prize that we're straining towards, the prize that we're pushing in towards today, it's not earned through human merit. It's found in a surrendered life and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in that life. So as we look forward to this new year, three things that I want to remind us of. Reflect and let go. Look back on the lessons of the past year, years, whatever it is, and let go of what you need to let go of. Acknowledge any sins or shortcomings or pride that we have in our life, and let's just give them to God. Two, let's renew and refocus with Christ-centered goals. Let's identify specific areas of spiritual growth that we want to pursue and grow in. I mentioned prayer, Bible study, reading, generosity, service, evangelism. There's a whole list of spiritual gifts in the Bible. Identify something that you want to grow in this year. And ask the Lord to give you a fresh goal and a fresh vision for that. And number three, strain forward and run with purpose and pace in your faith. Recognize that setbacks are going to come, but let's determine to keep moving forward and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And let's remember that we press on, not for our own glory, but for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So as we enter this new year, let's embrace Paul's focus, yeah? Let's press on towards the goal of knowing and honoring Jesus. Let's recognize that we need to grow, that we need to lay aside things that hinder us, that we need to strain forward, that there will be setbacks, but let's keep our eyes on the prize. And I'm going to invite the worship team up just now. I think. Yep. And I want to encourage us in here today. I kind of had this in my heart all week. I want to invite you to take a few moments as we're worshiping to just reflect. Reflect on the past year. Reflect on what is God calling me to this year. Just reflect. Is there something from the past year that you feel God is asking you to release today? Are there areas where you need to renew your focus and press on in faith? And I'd ask the prayer team to come up as well. And I'm just going to encourage you to lay those things at the feet of Jesus right now. As we worship and as we sing and finish the service out, if you'd like prayer, or you just want to spend time with the Lord, the altar is open. It's available. You don't have to come up to the front, to the prayer team. You can pray in groups if you want. Find someone next to you and say, hey, pray with me for this. Pray to yourself if you want. Or just worship. Whatever you want. But I want to give us the opportunity to come forward. If you're feeling burdened by something that's holding you back, this is your moment. Just hand it over to the Lord, because he's got something so much better for your future. So let's worship. Amen.